Welcome to BitCast on Podcast One, the video game podcast with the Axeman.
Welcome back to the BitCast. You might have noticed that a majority of my episodes have been about Nintendo titles. And, well, I'll be honest, I'm a huge Nintendo fanboy. I've obviously played games by other companies and enjoyed them. I'm still on Team Nintendo through and through. And as such, I'm always excited for the company's boons, especially with how well the Nintendo Switch is selling, after the Wii U didn't really get the love that it deserved. But the Wii U did have its impact. It was the birthplace of a very popular, very new series for Nintendo, one that even had a sequel for the Switch only 2 years later. I'm talking about the Splatoon games. Something about Splatoon just reminds me of an earlier point in my life, back when Super Smash Bros. Brawl was still relatively new. The game's creator, Masahiro Sakurai, commented on how the game didn't really feature a lot of new characters. Every fighter in the whole game had existed for quite a while. I can't properly cite this, because this is an article I read 10 years ago, and, well, you know, time. I didn't expect to be doing this podcast back when I was still in high school. But even without that, you can just look at the game's roster of 35 for yourself, and you'll see that there really aren't a lot of new faces, at least not at the time of 2008. The only real new character is Lucario, who debuted in Pokemon Diamond and Pearl 2 years before Brawl came out. And Pokemon's already been out for a while. The other exception is Pikmin, and its character Captain Olimar, but Pikmin came out in 2001. That article really stuck out in my mind. It showed me that Nintendo had been a little stagnant in introducing new properties. If they have, they weren't really confident in them, always playing it safe with their heavy hitters. But the years pass. Nintendo revives a few of their series, like Kid Icarus and Punch-Out. The Nintendo Wii and DS get phased out over time. Fire Emblem rises to prominence with Fire Emblem Awakening. Nintendo begins adopting the same ideas as their competition, like games having DLC. Operation Rainfall happens, and the Western world is introduced to Xenoblade Chronicles, which would lead to Xenoblade Chronicles X and Xenoblade Chronicles 2. Donkey Kong goes back to his roots as a side-scrolling platform superstar, no more bongo games. There's even a brand new Super Smash Bros. With even more star power than Brawl. But just as importantly as all of these, Nintendo's team creates a brand new game. They introduced it during E3 2014, and then, come 2015, for the Nintendo Wii U, Splatoon. Splatoon is a third-person shooter, primarily based in multiplayer over the internet. You play as Inklings. They're these kids that transform into squids, and you get into paint fights. So it's kind of like paintball, but the paint doesn't really come in ball form, you just shoot paint itself. The goal is to have your team cover as much of the scenery with your team's color as you can, more than the other team does. Unlike most shooters, you don't really get anything for beating the enemies. You'll get the other team out of your hair for a few seconds, but you still have to focus on spraying paint. There are variations of the concept, too. Ranked battles ask you to fill out a certain objective while painting, and the Splatfest was this monthly contest where each team represents a popular option, such as preferring cats over dogs, or preferring pizza over hamburgers. And the better players would determine the winning option. There's even a single-player mode, even though it's not a very deep one, but it still had a lot of unique elements and a fun rampage about defeating octopus monsters. This was also one of the few non-Smash Bros. Games at its time to have their very own set of amiibo figures. Yeah, this was when amiibo was still kind of a new thing. Most of them were just restricted to Smash Bros., but they made a few Inkling amiibos. Nintendo had globally released demos of the game for everyone to play. They were called the Global Test Fire, so everyone could get a feel for Splatoon before the game came out. And when it finally did, it was a hit. It managed to sell over 1 million copies in its lifetime. So, Nintendo had done it. Not only had they come up with a brand new series, but it thrived. It just goes to show that they're still capable of new tricks. They don't have to hide behind Mario and Zelda all the time. They played it smart with Splatoon, and they were rewarded for it. It came out after Super Smash Bros. For Wii U had already been released, so there's no sign of Splatoon anywhere in the game, until some DLC brought in a few cameo appearances. But I bet my bottom dollar that we'll get a playable Inkling fighter and a Splatoon stage come time for Super Smash Bros. 5. It'd just be insane not to have them. And I think most people would agree with me there. Splatoon has firmly established itself as a new superstar property in Nintendo's gallery of heavy hitters. And it wasn't always going to be that way. According to statements from Shigeru Miyamoto in an interview with Edge magazine, Splatoon was first conceived as a Mario game. While Mario's name on a game is practically a license to print money for Nintendo, Miyamoto pointed out how this would keep Splatoon from becoming its own thing, so they decided to feature the Inklings instead. So you could tell that it was a common sentiment around the offices that they needed to have more original properties. Splatoon isn't a one-and-done game, oh no. Nintendo's keeping the momentum going. In the Nintendo Switch's debut trailer in 2016, new Splatoon footage was shown before the Switch press event in January of the next year confirmed that it was an all-new Splatoon game, Splatoon 2. I did mention that there was a sequel. The game is pretty similar to before, but there are a lot of new touch-ups and change-ups that you can expect from a sequel like this. There are two new modes, though. One is Salmon Run, where the player's team has to hoard salmon eggs and survive waves of salmon monsters. There's also League Battle, which is a cooperative, ranked play mode. Otherwise, most of the old games return, even the single-player mode, which serves as a sequel to the first game's storyline. Splatoon is also usually compared to the Valve game Team Fortress 2. Both of these games are just silly shooter games that have you playing as a team against other teams, but both games also have surprisingly deep amounts of lore going into explaining why the world is the way it is. Splatoon, in particular, really threw me off, but it's kind of easy to see in hindsight. I'm not gonna go into the details so that new players can figure it out for themselves. In the single-player story mode, you can find these items called Sunken Scrolls. Those are what provide the lore for Splatoon, so have fun finding them. It's really not so bad. To be honest, it just really satisfies me to see Splatoon flourish the way it does. I've only played the first one, but I really want to play the second one. I didn't get a whole lot out of Splatoon 1 because I picked it up a little late. I did get to compete in a few of the Splatfests, though. In my opinion, Splatfest is what sticks out the most in the game, as far as I'm caring. Yeah, let's think of three sentences and then say them all at the same time. Great job. Anyway, Splatoon's Splatfest mode was a way to keep the main game mode fresh and have a little fun with the fans at the same time. Whenever you turn the game on in Splatoon, there are these two Inkling pop stars, the Squid Sisters, and they would always announce which stages were available that day for playing, but they also hosted the monthly Splatfest. The Squid Sisters, who are actually cousins, their names were Callie and Marie. Callie would always pick one side in a Splatfest, and Marie would pick the other. And they'd have this banter with each other that would go a long way towards characterizing the two, and would really propel their path to being the most popular Splatoon characters. It got to the point where the final Splatfest in the first game was just a matter of which sister you preferred more. They also had a minor role in the storyline, but Splatfest is where the Squid Sisters shined. They even got their own amiibo figurines, which unlocked cutscenes of their respective Squid Sister performing a solo song. I did say they were pop stars, after all, and they even provide the best songs in the soundtrack, in my opinion. Nintendo certainly knows how popular the Squid Sisters are, because in between the two games, there were these small little interlude stories on the Splatoon website. They were written about what the Squid Sisters were doing in between the stories. The plot of Splatoon 2's single-player mode also heavily focuses on the sisters, with Marie wanting to find a disappeared Callie. This did come at the cost of having their host roles given to new characters, but, you know, I don't dislike the new hosts. Though I'll say that the Squid Sisters did leave a stronger impression. So after talking about the game's resident musicians, I should list today's favorite songs. I'll do the usual three for Splatoon 1, but I'm only doing one for Splatoon 2 because I'm still not as familiar with that game's soundtrack, even though I'd like to be. Splatoon 1's favorite songs are Ink Me Up, Calamari Incantation, with a K, K in Incantation, and I Am Octavio. The first two are actually sung by the Squid Sisters themselves. Kelly and Marie are respectively voiced by Katie.Pop and Mari Kikuma, both of which are Japanese singers. For Katie.Pop, I'm going to presume that's just a pseudonym, otherwise her parents had a very peculiar taste. It's spelled K-E-I-T-I dot P-O-P, all one word. Anyway, the Squid Sisters both sing in this Inkling language, which has been a source of confusion for the fans. It sounds like a lot of gurgling gibberish. Some people thought it might be backwards Japanese. No one really knows for sure. But back to the songs themselves, Ink Me Up was the background music for the Splatfest matches, and it was one of the first songs I heard in the whole game, so it, on top of its musical merit, it just has this place for kind of being what introduced me to Splatoon. Then there's Calamari Incantation, which played during the final phase of the final battle in story mode. It also played in the background of the very final Splatfest. Both these songs are really high energy, and you, if you know me, you know that that's the kind of music I tend to be drawn to. I Am Octavio, on the other hand, sounds nothing like the other two songs. It is not performed by the Squid Sisters, and it abandons the pop feel of the other songs. It sounds more like a menacing EDM number. This plays for a majority of the final battle before Calamari Incantation kicks in. And then, for Splatoon 2, my current favorite song is Tidal Rush. It's a climactic remix of Tide Goes Out, which was Marie's amiibo song from the first game. This is another final battle theme, and I really like the callback to the bonus amiibo feature from the first game. Of course, I won't be giving much context for these final battles, because I tend to avoid spoilers on this show. Really, it's just neat how Splatoon is able to build upon itself the way it does. Storyline, the music, all because the Squid Sisters were so popular the first time around that it influenced the second game. Games do this all the time if they manage to make their way into series, but it's still fascinating to see. Gameplay and characters, Nintendo just knocked it out of the park with Splatoon, and they're not done yet. They have this other new game, and it's been advertised alongside Splatoon 2 at almost every opportunity. It's called ARMS. It's this game where people with stretchy, customizable arms punch each other. It's kind of like boxing. It's treated as a sporting event. It's not just a game about random violence. The game was advertised very similarly to Splatoon, right down to the global demo. It does its own thing, but with a lot of Splatoon fans and ARMS fans overlapping, and ARMS getting as much love from Nintendo as Splatoon did, it's just reassuring. I still think Splatoon is probably going to have the stronger reputation in the end, but it shows that Nintendo has definitely learned. Especially since they allowed another new property, the Wonderful 101, to fall completely to the wayside. Well, they still have a better capacity for learning than the Sonic team does, anyway. Oh, bringing back that 90s rivalry. Anyway, that does it for today's BitCast. Until next time, stay fresh. I am such a dork.
Listen to BitCast anytime on podcast1.com and on the Podcast One app.